This is Building Resilience Podcast, episode 216, the 5 most powerful ways to transform your life. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. First of all, I want to share some exciting news. If you're not already aware, my guided journal for emotional well-being and nervous system care called Resilience is now available on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. So I would be thrilled if you would head on over to check it out. There will be a link in the show notes to both .com and .ca. And I would love for you to share it with family, friends, colleagues, everyone you know. I am really on a mission to make learning about the nervous system accessible and to help support everybody in their mental and emotional health. And I believe it starts with learning and befriending our nervous system. So that's exciting. Today, I want to get back to the basics. I was thinking the other day that when I first came up with the idea of starting this podcast, I never dreamed that I would get to episode 216. But here we are. And I think we've covered a lot of topics. Now, I used to joke in the years past when I was predominantly doing my work as a speech pathologist that I could not get through a conversation without saying, oh, there's this really great TED Talk, because I spent a lot of time with my clients over the years watching TED Talks together. Now, if you talk to me, I still bring up TED Talks, but I am often saying I actually have a podcast episode about that. And it's not even that I'm trying to broadcast my podcast, which I always appreciate if you share it with friends and leave a review to help other people find it. But I love being able to point people to some resources for whatever is coming up in their life. Now, if you're a new listener, it's a lot of information and it can be overwhelming. I do have a roadmap that will also be linked in the show notes that you can access, and it helps sort of guide you to some of the basic episodes about nervous system care. And I just decided that I think it would be a good idea to revisit some stuff, some of the basics. And that's the power of neuroplasticity. If you recall, neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to change itself, but it needs certain inputs. It needs awareness. It needs attention. It also needs deliberateness, and it needs a lot of repetition. So that's why some of the basics will never get old if we really want to make superhighways in our brain. And of course, then the brain is going to need sleep and rest to digest everything to make the brain changes. So after you listen to this podcast episode, maybe go have a nap or do some non-sleep deep rest or yoga nidra, because that really helps your brain transfer and digest the information. So today I talk about the basics of what I believe we truly need in life to thrive, not just survive, but to thrive. And I've broken it down into the 5 things. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't more things that you may do that would be very helpful, but I think that these are things that you can do that you're going to get a really good bang for your buck, so to speak. There are a lot of things in life for us to prioritize, but these are, to me, very powerful. And I think if you focus on these 5 things, you're in good shape. So there is an excellent TED Talk. You know, I have to say that. There's a couple, actually, excellent TED Talks by Dr. Daniel Amen about brain health. And he says at the end of one talk, if you don't have brain health, you don't have health. And I totally agree. These 5 things that I'm going to be talking about today are all about supporting your nervous system and your brain so that you can thrive. Because when you take care of these things, you are taking care of all areas, emotionally, mentally, cognitively, physically, socially, and spiritually. So let's take a look at them. The first one, of course, I'm going to start with the importance of befriending your nervous system. Now, your nervous system is the foundation It's a foundation of how you think, how you feel, how you respond to the world. It determines whether you feel calm and connected or stressed and reactive. And when you understand and work with your nervous system rather than against it, you unlock the ability to regulate your emotions, to manage your thoughts, and to essentially handle life stressors with much more ease. Now, I talk about befriending it because I want you to think about it like a new friend. So think of it like when you meet somebody new. I was just in Vienna not so long ago and I met a bunch of brand new people. Some of them I had met online and others were completely brand new. So what did I do? I got to know them. I was curious about their life. I had to invest time in them. I talked to them. I was really trying to get to know them. And obviously it's an ongoing process. I know them better now. I invited them to come walk with me or eat with me or sit with me. I asked about different parts of their life, not just their business, because we were there for a mastermind. And I know that I now need to continue that exchange, keep it going. And as I spend more time with them, I'm going to get to know them better. So think about the best friends that you have in your life. Chances are you have spent a lot of time with them. You've had a lot of conversations, maybe a lot of ups and downs. I know for me, there's been a lot of laughter and a lot of tears and a lot of adventures, some deep conversations and a lot of surface stuff. There's been meals and walks and travel. We've really invested in each other. Well, your nervous system can become your very own bestie, but it does not happen overnight. You need to invest in your relationship. You need to get to know your nervous system. Now, remember, your nervous system is how the brain and the body communicate with each other. So get to know what it's saying, how it wants to be spoken to. It's so worthwhile to befriend it. So some examples of befriending. It really means trying to understand how it is communicating with you and trying to be friends with you. So for example, when your heart races after you hear a loud noise, that's your nervous system's way of trying to protect you. Or if you lash out in frustration or you shut down because you're feeling stressed, that's your nervous system signaling it's dysregulated, everything's out of whack and it needs some attention. And chances are some self-compassion. So befriending your nervous system is about awareness and regulation and resilience. So you want to learn how to recognize what state you're in. Are you in team resilient, team hyper, team hypo? And then using some tools to build your capacity for safety, to release the stress in your life, that stress cycle. We want to close it. We want to release some of the stress on a daily basis and build up your zone of resilience so you can increase your capacity to handle all the challenges in life that are going to be thrown at you. And you can do this using tools such as your breath or through movement or creative activities like doodling and journaling. It's one of the reasons why I have created my journal. Now, the second thing that you can do is learn how to process your emotions. Now, emotions are signals from your nervous system. They are not the same thing. They are the energy in motion in your body. That's why it's called emotion. And they are always talking to you as well. Now, your nervous system state will kind of flavor all your emotions. So that's another plug for getting to know your nervous system because there's a trickle-down effect. Your emotions and your thoughts, which we'll get into in a minute, are flavored by the state of your nervous system. If you're on team hyper in this activated state, in the sympathetic energy, then your emotions are going to be tinged with energy, activated, hyper-aroused, maybe even tinged with danger. So it could be like anger, rage, annoyance, or it could be something like worry, overwhelm, anxiety. Ignoring or suppressing your emotions, which many of us do because not all emotions feel good, but actually what you resist persists. And ignoring and avoiding and suppressing doesn't make your emotions go away. It actually stores them in your body, which can lead to things like stress, anxiety, and even physical illness and symptoms. Chronic pain and chronic illness have a lot of ties to suppressed and repressed emotions. So processing your emotions allows you to release them and move forward. So it's really, really important. And understanding how to actually process them does not just mean reacting or allowing them to explode on others. It means taking the time to label them and allow them and accept them and let them flow through you. When we feel something, it's usually for a reason. and we want to explore each feeling and listen to it. We can explore our emotions in so many different ways. And of course, for each different way, I have a podcast episode about each one. So for example, journaling. We can explore our emotions using journaling, even just simple prompts. What am I feeling right now? What does this feeling need from me? All these ways, label the emotion and explore it. Tapping or EFT is another great way for us to explore our emotions. Physically tapping on these acupressure points while acknowledging and releasing emotions. And then creative expression, painting, drawing, dancing, singing, doodling. These are all ways that we can express our emotion in a non-verbal way. Emotions are not a problem to solve, but they are experiences to move through. And you want to give yourself permission to feel them without any judgment. Now, the third powerful thing that you can do is learn how to manage your mind. You've heard me say it many times before, your thoughts shape your reality. When your nervous system drives the initial reactions, your mind then creates the stories about what's happening. The story is your thoughts. And then your thoughts fuel your feelings, which are behind all your actions. And then your actions and your inactions create your results. So managing your thoughts from a regulated nervous system state helps you shift from reactivity to intentionality, empowering you to take control and ownership and responsibility of your life. Your collection of thoughts form your mindset and your whole belief system. So it's extremely powerful. I think it was Jim Quick who said, if you realized how powerful your thoughts were, you would never say out loud another negative thought. So we can see the impact of thoughts positively and negatively. A stressful event like missing a deadline can spiral you into a negative self-talk. I'm a failure. Why did I do that? But managing your mind can help you reframe it. I'm human. I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. I can do better next time. Reframing is also a very powerful tool, and we can fully access our ability to reframe from a regulated place in the nervous system. Much, much harder to reframe from a place of dysregulation. And then, of course, things like shifting our language, which I've talked about previously, from things like I can't to what's something that I can do to create momentum and confidence. When you change your thoughts, you change your life. That's often been said. Some other practical tools that you can use to help manage your mind. Well, journaling again, writing down your thoughts to uncover unhelpful patterns. Writing gives us distance. It helps us be more objective, and it allows us to see what's actually going on in your thoughts. So it's really important. After awareness and regulation, we can work on changing our thoughts if we think other thoughts will serve us better. So essentially, our self-talk can change. We can reframe things. I can't handle this can become a learning how to handle challenges. And journaling can be an excellent way to see what we're really thinking. And then reframing, like I just mentioned, is also really powerful. We can challenge all our limiting beliefs by asking, is this even true? Is this thought true? Is this story true? Is there another way that I can view it? Because often we believe that our stories are facts. Majority of the time, our stories are just that, stories. They're very real to us, but they are not factual, which means that we can change our stories. And then things like affirmations, using empowering statements like, I am capable of learning and growing. I am lovable. I am amazing. Overall, managing your mind is a skill that can transform your self-perception, and it really does empower you to live with purpose and intention. The fourth thing that we can do to really transform our life is to optimize stress. Now, notice I said optimize stress and not get rid of stress, because stress is a part of life. And as we've talked about before, not all stress is bad. Kelly McGonigal, she has a great TED talk as well. She talks about how our mindset about stress is way more important to our health than stress itself. Our stress mindset matters. And I've done a podcast episode previously about this. Healthy stress pushes you to grow, whereas acute stress is often manageable if there is an end to it. It's the chronic stress that can overwhelm you and harm your health. So we want to learn to identify the stressors in our life, eliminate what we can, and then identify how our body responds to stress. What are the ins and outs of our stress cycle? And then we want to daily be releasing the buildup of stress or completing the stress cycle, as I've said before. And I'll do an upcoming episode about that in the near future. So learning to optimize your stress allows you to channel it into growth while protecting your well-being. When you optimize stress, you grow through challenges rather than being consumed by the challenges. So to clarify just a little bit more, things like preparing for an exciting presentation is healthy stress and it can motivate you. Whereas constantly worrying about things that you can't control will lead to unhealthy stress and burnout. And this is why we need daily resets. We need to discharge stress consistently, daily at minimum, preferably much more often. So things like meditation and mindfulness and physical movement, different breathing patterns, they're all so powerful, as is connection, which we're going to talk about in a second. Because the last thing is relationships. We want to invest in relationships. Relationships, whether a relationship with yourself, a relationship with others, or a relationship with a higher power, they've been shown to be the most significant predictors of happiness and well-being. Strong connections reduce stress, as I just mentioned a few seconds ago, they increase resilience, and they bring meaning to life. And I do like to break it apart, the relationships, into three because I think all are extremely valuable. The first thing is the relationship with yourself. It matters because self-awareness, self-compassion, they are really the foundation for personal growth and emotional health. Your relationship with others is only as good as your relationship with yourself. So investing time in you, proper self-care, spending that reflective time alone, doing things you enjoy, focusing on what you love. So many ways to invest in you, learning, moving, meditating, journaling. These are all investments in you. And then relationships with others. And you've probably heard me say this over and over again. Humans are wired for connection. We heal in connection. Healthy relationships foster joy and support and resilience. So investing in other people, spending time with them, getting curious about them, sharing and appreciating them. And of course, part of loving others is setting healthy boundaries. You want to be able to protect your energy while maintaining these healthy connections. And lastly, the relationship with your higher power. Now, connecting with something greater provides hope, meaning, purpose, especially during difficult times. For me, it is God, but for you, it may be something different. It may be source or the universe, but just feeling like we belong to something greater is extremely powerful. And then we can invest in this relationship different ways, prayer, meditation, or worship services where we spend time in reflection to nurture your spiritual connection, or acts of service. You can find a lot of fulfillment through helping other people or spending time in nature, really deepening your sense of wonder and awe and gratitude. So strong relationships create a safety net for all of life's challenges and can amplify your joy and your sense of purpose. When you embrace these five things, you can transform your life. You will transform your physical health. You'll have a healthier body, reduce pain, reduce symptoms, better sleep, more energy. Your emotional health, you'll notice greater confidence, less anxiety, increased peace. And then better relationships, a deeper connection to yourself, to others, to your higher power. And of course, resilience and purpose. The ability to navigate all the adversities in life while finding joy and meaning. Overall, investing in these five things gives you the tools to support your nervous system, your body, laying the foundation for a healthier, more vibrant life. I hope you found this helpful, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.